Chris, obviously, with American Horror Story ending, I say it's funny to say that ending because I feel like 4 episodes, it was like we hardly got anything to begin with. But with it ending, is there anything in particular in the next upcoming few months that you are super excited to be watching that you have like on your list or that you're currently watching that you're really excited to see how it ends?
Yes, I am currently watching Fallout on Prime.
I'm watching Fallout 2.
I knew you would be. I didn't even remember if we had talked about it or not because it just came out like last weekend, I think. And Prime dropped all the episodes. I'm through 4 of them, and I think there's 8 total. How far are you into it?
I am on episode 5, so I'm just ahead
Oh,
of you.
it is so good, I think. It is like, for people who don't know, Fallout is a video game series, where it's like this post-apocalyptic, post-nuclear world where there were some people who lived in these vaults underground, and you play a character, possibly a vault dweller, who comes out and has to, navigate the top side of the world, which is corrupt, and there's monsters, and the nuclear war did a lot of things to a lot of people, and it's like humorous. It's like dark humor. It's so great.
So you know what, I was talking with somebody about this the other day, and I think the thing about Fallout is that so first of all, I have not played Fallout.
Same.
So I've kind of
I've watched YouTubers play it. That's about it.
And I also really enjoyed the show The Last of Us, and I also did not play those games. And I think for me, from a person who's watching the show's perspective, what I appreciate the difference between those shows is, like, obviously The Last of Us is I
So
think
good.
it's excellent, but it's also
So
like
good.
very serious and intense. It's kind of like The Walking Dead intense, right? Whereas I do think the humor in Fallout makes it like very, even though there's some parallels kind of in premise, obviously very differentiated in that way. And so, I mean, I'm also a sucker for anything apocalyptic.
I was gonna say it gives it is Fallout has given me Westworld vibes.
Westworld vibes. That's a good one. That's a good one. While we're talking about this, because I think Fallout is great too. The two things. One thing I'm looking forward to debuting in May is Apple TV is going to have a show called Dark Matter, which is based on a book. It's like a sci-fi book that I loved that came out years ago
Ooh.
by the author Blake Crouch. And so that is going to be a great one that I'm really excited for. The other thing is I just finished a book called Chain Gang All-Stars. Have you heard of
Ooh.
this?
I have not.
It's also like sci-fi kind of post-apocalyptic future, but it's basically the idea is that people, incarcerated people, are like given the opportunity rather than to stay in prison to compete in like modern gladiatorial games.
Oh my gosh.
And like the if you reach a certain number of wins, then you're set free, basically. But it's a lot of not only is it like incredibly well written and the story is fantastic, but the kind of like meta commentary about the American prison state and everything is just so well done. I highly, highly recommend for anybody who's looking for a good read.
That sounds great. I would definitely like that.
Yeah, so suggest folks check that out. So obviously we covered other content. Should we cover the content at hand?
I forgot also one real quick thing is the Game of Thrones, the House of the Dragon is coming back as well.
Season
So,
two, yeah.
yeah, so I'll be watching that. Anyway, yes, let's do our show.
Let's do it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to This American Horror Story, an unofficial podcast about the FX hit show American Horror Story. I am your host, Tyler Moss, here with my co-host.
Chris Husted, what's up, everyone? Hey, Tyler, here we are. Final episode of season 12.
Here we are, episode, what, 9 of this season. Wow. This episode was called The Auteur. It's about a filmmaker whose personal so this is the I looked up I want to be like I feel like I know what an auteur is, but I feel like after reading this episode I should like look up the actual definition. So an auteur is a filmmaker whose personal influence and artistic control over a movie are so great that the filmmaker is regarded as the author of the movie. I think this will harken back to this when Kim K calls herself the auteur, I think, later in this
Yep.
episode. But I wanted to kind of set the stage with that. Before we begin, as always, I'm very curious to hear everybody's thoughts and opinions on this season, which you can send to us either at facebook.com/thisamericanhorrorstory or at thisamericanhorrorstory@gmail.com. I've already seen some reactions, including on our Facebook page. It's been
Not good.
not great. What is it? From Not Great Cotton, isn't that from Dodgeball? That's a throwback reference, but yeah, man. So this particular episode was directed by Gwyneth Horder-Payton, who is a veteran American Horror Story director, but it's been a while. In fact, I think the last episodes directed by Gwyneth date back to American Horror Story Red Dawn. So
Okay.
it's been a couple seasons, a few seasons. Red Dawn, NYC, yeah. And again, written by our normal crew.
Red Tide. No, Red Dawn. Oh, Red Dawn was the episode in 1984. Got it. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Right. Yeah, Red Tide and Red Dawn, it's a little bit
Yeah, very different.
easy to mix them up. Yeah, because 1984 was season nine, I want to say, because it was Red 1984 and then Double Feature was after, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nine was 1984.
Folks, it's kind of incredible, right? Enough seasons now where like it's easy to start to
I have no idea.
misremember
Yeah.
the order, you know? It's wild. Chris, is there anything you want to say at the upfront, or shall we get dive into the cold open?
I just want to say that I texted Tyler last night after I watched this episode, and I normally save everything I'm gonna say. I save it for this conversation. But I want to preface everything we say in this review at with anyway. I told Tyler that I do not like this episode at all. I think it was probably the worst I've ever seen. But this is coming from a place of love. Love this show, love the subject. I'm here as a fan. So I just want to preface my
It's
review with saying I love the show.
a solid preface, I'm excited to dig into it with you. I'm drinking my coffee again. This has been a coffee morning
Yeah.
season, because I
We're
feel like
dads
after every
now.
episode, well, I was gonna say after every episode, I also feel like we needed to decompress before we could talk about it objectively.
Yeah.
I've got my black coffee here. I'm ready to roll. So why don't you go ahead and take us into the cold open of the final episode
Yes.
of AHS Delicate, the auteur.
We open in Brooklyn 2019, and there's the self-help fertility group that was referenced how Siobhan and Anna met originally. So it's 2009. There's a woman there who's talking. She's like complaining about how, not complaining, she's talking about how she's almost 40 and men treat her like she's invisible. She's given up on being married or buying an apartment. All her savings went to her IVF treatments, and she's just so tired. And she's sitting next to Anna. Anna looks over at Siobhan across the circle, and I can't really tell what she mouths to Anna, but it sounds like either like she's lost or she sucks or something like that, which is like really mean. Anyway, afterwards, when they're cleaning up the chairs, they're bonding and they're talking trash about that woman. And then Siobhan asks Anna to go out for a drink, but Anna says she can't because she has an audition in the morning. And I love this little note. Siobhan's like, "Oh, what's it for?" And Anna says, "Oh, it's for some feminist horror film written by a man." Oh, that was a great joke.
Which is
And
the
then,
auteur, we assume, right?
And then Siobhan asks her, "When will the let us tell our own stories?" So we're kind of getting the hints at this, matriarchal feminist, quote unquote, worldview that Siobhan seems to want to see. Anyway, they exchange numbers, and she also tells Anna that she's going to send her Dr. Hill's number, is the best fertility doctor in all of the city. Anna's like, "Oh my gosh, you're so nice." And they'd say there's nothing more important than female friendship. Then we kind of cut to the present where we left off of the previous
Oscar winner.
episode, and we're at the Oscars. Anna's crying, she's in labor. Siobhan says that the ambulance is on the way. Dex shows up because she called him. Anna's not happy about that, but she says you could ride in the ambulance to the hospital, but do not talk. Siobhan says she'll meet her at the hospital, and that she's so proud of her. In the ambulance, Anna won't let go of her Oscar. That's one kind of note that we've seen throughout this, is she's continually holding the Oscar that she's won, the trophy. Also, it's weird there's like no EMT in the back of the ambulance or paramedic
Which
within
she
the.
points out, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And then we see that Ivy's driving. Kamal's in the front seat with Ivy and trying to find out which hospital they're going to. Eventually, Ivy tells him to be quiet, and then she just pulls out a gun, shoots him in the head. Poor Kamal. Anna's freaking out about that. She says the baby's coming. And so Dex like reaches in to help, but gets his hand bitten off. Holy cow. Ivy smiles at what's going on in the back seat, and then we get the title sequence of the credit of the opening credits.
Yeah, wow.
That was a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. You know, I think for me, I'll say up front, the pure mayhem of this cold open is the best part of the episode
Yeah,
in
it
my
works.
for me. You know, I do think it's, I guess, fitting, but also like kind of depressing that where we learn that Siobhan and Anna are like really became friends was effectively over being catty toward this other woman.
Yeah.
This is a part of the struggle I have, honestly, with this season and with this episode is like, if the whole idea of this witch cult is female empowerment, they're like kind of like, obviously, they're being shitty to another person here. You know, it's like, I don't know. There's some contradictions that I don't quite like. I don't know if they're supposed to have subliminal meaning that I'm not following, but these are the kind of things that pop up in my head, right?
Yeah, here's a good qualifier for you and I discussing this as two white guys talking about women and feminism. So, just qualifying that
Oh,
we're aware of
totally.
that.
Totally.
But there is this notion, like you're saying, of like women not supporting other women. You do hear that a lot. And what does it mean to support another woman, even if you disagree with her? This is not that really. This is like them just being mean. They're
Right.
being mean girls.
Totally. And then, you know, I think a couple other things, like the fact that Anna, even after winning the Oscar and Siobhan's back there, like still doesn't get it, what she signed up for.
So dumb.
You know, it's like we kind of had the we've had so many moments of revelation, and she's intentionally being you know, intentionally not getting it at this point, right? You know, depressing end for Kamal. Oh, go ahead.
When someone shows you who you are, believe them. We hear that phrase, that idiom a lot. And Anna just never believes when Siobhan has shown many times who she is and what her motives are, even though we don't completely understand them. We know that she's nefarious. So Anna
Right.
just, it's hard to root for someone like that as your main character.
Agree, agree. And then the final thing, well, I agree with
Oh,
you. I
yeah.
kind of like,
Kamal's
I
a
like,
family. Sorry, you were gonna
oh,
mention.
that was really sad. Yeah,
Yeah, I love
exactly.
Kamal. That's the saddest I am about anyone in this show.
He was the most
Kamal.
earnest character on the show, I think.
Yeah.
Except maybe Kamal and Dexter's mother, I guess, are the
Oh,
two women.
true.
But so two things. I also like the imagery of her holding the statue in the ambulance. And then I think that honestly, for my opinion, this was the best acting from Emma Roberts of the season in the back of the ambulance when she's giving birth. I was like, you know, as someone who has been in the room when someone's been giving birth, I was like, oh, that's convincing. And I do have to wonder, you know, Emma Roberts as a mother herself, if she was channeling her real experience here, because it felt authentic to me in that regard. I don't know how you felt.
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked about this. Emma has become a mother since like I think 1984. I can't remember when she had her kid, but like she is a mother and has like a toddler now. So I mean, what better experience to draw from when you're recreating a scene like this than your own? And she was good. Everyone has varied experiences, but she did do a really good job in this. So much so that I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, are we getting a full hour of her screaming in labor, because I don't know if I want to watch all of that. It
Yeah, it was
was good.
intense. Moving into though what I'll call the meat of the episode, past the cold open, we have a flashback of Siobhan making this deal with Dr. Hill. You know, it looks like the 80s. She's got kind of a blowout going on. And you know, he seems hesitant at first. She convinces him with her very sharp nail, which I don't think we've seen before,
Nope.
that he, you know, is going to be the best doctor in the city, but he kind of has no choice to become their partner in this. And then she ends this scene with, "I'm Siobhan Corbin. I make my own rules." Because he's like, "Who are you?"
Yeah, that didn't answer it, Shavar.
I don't know. I felt like that line was something out of CSI Miami, where like then you have to like
Poor
rip off the
Horatio.
sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And there needs to be like a how like the Who song playing in the background as soon as she says it, you know.
Yeah,
But
I the problem I have with this scene is that Siobhan like essentially forces Dr. Hill to make this deal, and everyone else, all these other women, have had the opportunity or the option to make their own choice of what they want, and he doesn't get that. And that's just kind of goes unless he does get a choice because he's a guy.
but
I
it also
will.
puts him off the hook a little bit, right? Because it's like I don't believe that
Yeah.
he wouldn't be invested in. He kind of seems like again a vain, selfish, ambitious person. I don't like. I feel like he would have gone for it in the same way that like you know Dexter's father is so depraved and.
Right. So I did a little research about differences in the book versus, which is called Delicate Condition versus the show and changes that were made. I did not read the book, so full disclosure, this is pulled from articles that wrote about the differences. EJ Moreno, the YouTuber who also helped break some of this down for me, and as well as Reddit folks out there who have read both or watched one and read the book. One change, and if you like don't want spoilers,
In the book.
maybe I feel like just don't listen, I guess. But Dr. Hill is a woman in the book, actually. So that adds a little difference to it. And that, in my experience, generally, well, I it doesn't matter. That's I feel like most fertility doctors are tend to be women. So interesting to have a man to be in charge of that.
And well, it makes you wonder why they made the decision. Was it just
Yeah.
because they wanted to find a role for Dennis O'Hare in this, you know?
And he was barely in it.
Yeah, it kind of like it makes more sense for it to be with the premise of what's happening for it to be a woman, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. For me, I feel like I didn't need this scene. Like we already heard that Dr. Hill was
Bad.
yeah, and
Worked
was
him.
working with them. So it was like why I just felt like we didn't need the scene. It was redundant, you
Yeah.
know, and it didn't it, I don't think it gave us anything new. It's not like when he asked her who she was like, I'm the devil incarnate or something. Like there I was like waiting for
Yeah.
some big reveal. No, it's just I'm Siobhan Corbin still.
They have so many people ask Siobhan who she is, and she never gives us anything besides like her name, or is
Or the
so
actual like
frustrating.
big things, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, back to the ambulance. What happens next? Kind of happens suddenly. Ivy
Yeah.
kills Dexter by having him choke on his own hand.
Yeah. I mean,
What was your take on that? That like I felt like that came out of nowhere. I mean, I was like, what just happened there?
it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it was like kind of cool to like, oh, my feet up in his hand, but it was I didn't understand the point of it. For the body horror, it was cool, but like,
Yeah, I mean, what a way for
what was it?
Dexter's life to go. I mean, Dexter was a rough character. We've talked about it already. The trajectory they've given Dexter, a little confounding. And then obviously we get a reveal that I'll wait for a few minutes till we get to that point, but something
It was
else.
confusing, and then definitely doesn't make sense what when we learn later what we learn and then why Ivy did this. It's just stupid.
Yeah, so. You know, we get to our destination. It's like a parking garage with a pentagram on the ground. The witches are doing their circling thing while, you know, Anna's in a gurney middle. I will say visually, I thought this was like kind of cool, you
Yeah.
know. I liked the directing and kind of the cinematography piece of this. The baby is born and like it feels like maybe we'll finally see what it looks like, but I don't think we ever see what it looks
We
like
never see
as the
what the
monster.
baby
We
looks like.
only ever see the claw.
Yep.
They pull out the placenta and place it in this like glass box, presumably to save it and use it later to consume from it. You know, we see them in a later stage, like effectively like milking heads for blood. So maybe they're
Yeah.
planning to do something like that. And then they kind of start singing this weird version of Hushabye Baby. It's like Hushabye Baby, baby, not mine, or something like that, which is a little creepy. At this point, I was thinking to myself, like, I feel like Anna should be freaking out way more given Kamal was just shot in the head.
Yeah, her
Dexter
husband's
was choked
dead.
on his own hand.
Yeah.
She's in a garage with like these random people taking her baby, and she's just kind of like, please, can I see my baby? And it felt like the panic, you know. And like, also, she just gave birth with no drugs. We should say that too. The incredible pain that she must have just been through, and then like is able to jump up from, maybe it has to do with like this baby being some kind of super baby, but not traditionally representative of, you know, I think childbirth in any way that I'm familiar with. So we move into like a series of pieces that give us exposition here. And you know, to its credit, I guess, we get some contextual things that are supposed to make more sense of stuff. First of all, Ivy informs Anna that she can't have the baby because of choosing it over the Oscar. At this point, Anna still seems baffled. Even though it was made so clear, like I think it was the wrong move, and I don't know if this is true in the book or not, but that like Anna still does not realize the deal that she made at this particular scene. I guess it's supposed to make her like a more, you know, relatable heroine in the end and like make her still good. But I feel like if she did not know the deal she was making in the audience of the Oscars, then at that point in time, with all the previous information, you know, it's like what I was saying before is she's being very willingly obtuse, you
Yeah,
know.
she's just so dumb. I don't know how else to, like, if she doesn't get it at this point, this is not a, yeah, I'm out of
And
words.
then, in another pretty random act of activities, Anna jumps up to try to get the baby back because Ivy's currently breastfeeding it. And who we take to be Siobhan, but in a mask at this point in time, sneaks up and pokes her in the back with that magic nail, apparently paralyzing her. And then
Paralyzing her.
they spray some kind of like knockout perfume in her
Perfume.
face.
And then stuff a rag in her mouth and blindfold her. It's not
Right.
necessary.
When do we wake? You know, we wake up at the lair, I guess, of these witches, which is just looks like a very red kind of fancy condo in Manhattan somewhere, maybe Upper West Side or something, you know?
I hate
Could
this
be
scene
LA.
so much. This is what I call the slumber party scene.
Anna wakes up next to all the witches. We see Ivy, we see Sonia, we see Nicolette, we see Talia. We don't see the Ashleys yet, I don't think, at this point.
No.
We also see the crying lady, you know, or the I say the crying lady, the bleeding head lady who keeps falling over and hitting her head in the bathroom.
Yes.
Anna's paralyzed. You know, they go through this one thing about how she was selfish and ambitious and the recruit woman who wanted to have it all and exploit it. I mean, again, there's this really, we'll talk about this more as we get into some of Siobhan's exposition, but I don't know that I believe that Anna was actually any more selfish or conceited than anyone else. Like, they very much fostered this behavior in her, and they even say that later, where like when Siobhan's like, "I've had Nicolette like nurturing this behavior in you all along," you know.
Yeah.
So they kind of pushed her into it the entire time. So like, is she really the full manifestation of selfish, you know, career-driven woman over familyhood? Because they had to keep like putting her on the right track. There was many times she wanted to be a family person, and Siobhan intended like has to cut in and redirect her herself, you know.
She says, "Don't gaslight the gaslighter." At 1.2, it's like they're just. There's no ex like they're doing so much like exposition in all these conversations. They're just telling Anna like what's going on, but they're also not very clear. And I feel like their goals and their motives are still very muddied as well. They're like, this is all for you. This is all part of the plan. This is being done for you. Nicolette implanted the qualities in you for since you were born, and this whole like crazy back stuff that happened that I still don't understand the point of it or the goal of. If they're trying to manipulate her into becoming this person, what, why? Just so she ends up giving up this baby? And why can't they just go with someone else who already is selfish? It just, eh.
I mean, I think that must have to do with the fact that, well, of, you know, their lineage, so to speak, right? Which we'll talk about in a second, but they have this scene where, you know, the slumber party crew wheels Anna down a hallway. There's all these like paintings that look like the ones that Sonia does. And she starts to kind of like hear voices in her head of like effectively, you know, curses and things toward women, I think, is kind of what she hears as she goes down the hall. And then there's kind of what I'll call the non-reveal reveal, which is she goes in the room and ta-da, we finally see Siobhan in the black costume, which doesn't have a lot of power for me because we knew it all
We knew,
along.
yeah.
Yeah.
This is the only person learning this is Anna. And so she doesn't realize it at this point.
Right. And they apparently, you know, she explains that the paralyzation is her payback, I guess, for, you know, trying to get the baby back and not keeping their agreement. And then they try to recruit her, you know, you can join us. You know, there's this dramatic scene where Siobhan waters a tree with blood. Visually, it's interesting. But then that's where we get all this exposition. There's kind of like this monologue, right, from Siobhan. We learned that Nicolette, again, was stalking her from infancy to like instill these negative qualities. Again, there's like a little bit of nature versus nurture question happening here, which is something, that's something we've talked about in American Horror Story in the past, right? But again, it seems like there's a bit of both playing, in factoring in this. I will say that one thing that I was thinking at this point in time was how it felt a little bit random that Anna was chosen to be like the most, the mother of like the most powerful or perfect pureblood child or whatever, given, through the history cuts we've had up until this time, a lot of the people that they've done this with have been like queens and things like that, like very high profile people. So to that extent, when you think back to like, Anna and her mother and father being kind of, not just normal people, where that happened from wasn't clear. Then we get the, Dexter's dad is walking in. Doesn't seem too bummed about his son being dead, I'll say. Which, it wasn't clear that he liked him all that much anyway. But we learned that Dexter, this is where we learned Dexter was Siobhan's son. Oh, so it's like, okay, that explains, I get, I guess maybe why Dexter was the guy that was chosen. This is also where she kind of has the weird thing where like she only spawns with the most depraved people, which again feels kind of contradictory to this idea of like this powerful matriarchy when like you're allying with like the worst misogynist people, you know?
And Dex's dad is apparently the buck,
But yeah,
which is disgusting.
and apparently it sounds like Siobhan's egg was implanted in Anna during IVF, which, whether it was by Dr. Hill in that one scene or whether it was in that scene in the basement where the witches are hovering over her on the gurney, that's when I think that's our understanding. So effectively, there's this kind of incestual thing happening where Siobhan's own son, created then like his own brother, I
Son
guess.
and brother, yeah.
And effectively like mated with his mother, right? So there's some kind of gross
Ugh.
darkness stuff. I think there's supposed to be some high drama in this part where we're gonna see if Anna joins them or not, but I don't know. I felt at this point like I don't really care if she joins them. I wasn't really rooting for her to survive at this point.
Me
I don't
either. It would have
know.
been more interesting if it, if she. She did join, or something bad happened to her. I don't know, but what happened? Yeah, I wasn't invested with her
I
choice
know.
because she flip flops all the time on trusting and not trusting that I at this point, I didn't care.
And then it kind of what feels like out of nowhere, Siobhan kills Ivy for having killed Dexter, having killed her son. It kind of poses this as some like biblical Abraham Isaac test. I don't know. Do you want to give like a 10-second version of the Abraham Isaac story?
From what I vaguely remember of it, God tells Abraham to kill his son, and Abraham is about to follow through with it, and God stops him from doing it because it was a test to see how much he had faith or trust in God. And
Which would
Siobhan
make this the opposite of that test because Ivy
let it
does listen to
happen.
her.
Siobhan's like, it was a test. And then Ivy even says, like, I killed my own daughter for you, which, remember, Sonya's twin, which is Dex's ex or Dex's first wife. And she just goes, so sweet, not good enough, dead. But then they, yeah, go ahead.
Let's make the point here though, that if the point of this Abraham Isaac test is to show so much faith in God that you're willing to go through with something terrible to your child, Ivy goes through with that in dedication to Siobhan. So she passes the test in all theories. So it doesn't make any sense at all why she kills her here.
She was supposed to not do it because it was Siobhan's son, even though Siobhan told her to kill Siobhan's son Dex. It doesn't make sense.
It feels very like it was, written on the fly. Also, like they've been together for a very long time, back like almost 2,000 years or whatever, up until this point to just kind of make this decision now on a whim.
But they
And
do
then,
say, someone does say, like, will she resurrect? I don't know if you caught that.
but then I thought, yeah, but then I think, didn't Siobhan say like no at that point? I was,
Like
I don't
she
know.
said, like she doesn't need to or something. It was confusing. A lot of conversations were happening in this. I had to rewind a few times and I still did miss a few things.
Yeah, there's a lot of things happening at once. Then we see like there's even a line in here that I like was totally a throwaway, where like one of the other witches like makes fun of Nicolette for putting the ice cream in the refrigerator instead of the freezer.
Yeah.
That was like maybe the best little detail Easter egg we got in the
That
sequel.
was really funny because everyone was like, what
And
is
she's like,
that in the
fuck you.
Yeah. That was funny.
We see that Siobhan seems to have extracted Dexter's testicles, so they're going to plan to continue to pull sperm from those to create this new generation of monster super creatures who are going to eventually kill all the men in the world, by the way.
I didn't have eugenics in on my bingo card for any reason that Siobhan would be doing any of this.
It has to do with, they're on their way to a matriarchal utopia.
Yeah. A new order, a sisterhood.
And this is where we get the "Who are you? I am the auteur bitch," which, I guess if
Doesn't
we're
answer
looking,
the question. God damn it.
yeah, I guess I take this to mean when we call it the auteur that like she's the one who's been pulling the strings the entire time on this entire narrative. But like
Yeah.
we knew that this. I feel like this reveal was telegraphed very, very blatantly since probably episode two of this season. So there's nothing new in
Yeah,
my mind
nothing
here.
new, no tension at all.
And I don't even mean that in a way that like, oh, they were clumsy about it. I mean it in like they made it very obvious, which in a way that seemed on purpose, So it really just confusing. It was like more confusing decision making than even, challenged writing necessarily.
Yeah.
Anna finally holds her baby. She sees its demon nature. She's wearing those spiky green shoes
Those are cool.
because
I like those.
they're cool shoes. I guess that's part of their recruitment for her is like, start by wearing the shoes, even though you can't feel because your legs are paralyzed, start by wearing the shoes. She
They
starts to
never simp
feed.
on fashion in this show, at least.
No, the fashion is very, this, yeah, felt very like apocalypse, honestly, is what I associate those shoes with. Wheels her over to start nursing him with, again, blood, not milk. There's this kind of comment that like motherhood is never what we think it'll be. Then there's kind of a moment where I guess it's supposed to be our answer for why Anna believes Siobhan so much through this is that she saw her as a mother figure. Yeah, and I guess if we're really extrapolating here, Anna's mother died when she was very young. She was desperate for somebody to fill this role. It's not totally clear. I don't know. She was nice to her, but like, why a mother and not just a
A
friend?
friend.
And
Yeah.
especially once she started having, I felt like this was supposed to be the explanation for why she believed her through all this stuff. And it, again, didn't fully land for me.
Yep, because we didn't have enough background on Anna and why, like, her motivations and, like, her challenges of wanting to be a mother. It's like, I was never sold on that. And so to see her now tell us that Siobhan was, like, that maternal figure, no, she was a friend. And it just misrepresents that relationship from what we were presented.
Right. Meanwhile, the other cult witches are off draining heads. Now, did you stop to see who both of these heads were? One of them is Miss Preacher, I
One
think.
of them's Preacher, and the other one I could not figure out. I was like, is it, Dex's mom or it's someone with long hair? But
Dexter's mom, I don't think, had long hair, so.
yeah, that's true. And she was like at a funeral, so we, they wouldn't have had her head probably. And then I was like, oh, is it her Adeline? But that wouldn't Adeline has
Adeline had
short
short
hair.
hair.
Yeah, so I don't know who that was.
Right. And then, okay, here's the moment that I don't even know how to preface it, so I'm just going to talk us through it. She's alone in the room with the mirror, has like a almost like a Harry Potter moment here as she's feeding her child. Adeline appears in the mirror beside her as some kind of like angel-like creature. I think she's wearing white in this scene, right? But not just in the mirror, she's there with her, and begins to chant in Latin. We start to hear kind of the same like Ave Hestia chant that we saw Adeline chanting
In
back in the
her
Ave Hestia
restaurant. Yeah.
episode, which seemed to be like the incantation that she seemed to believe would like keep her and protect her from the witch cults. And it didn't work for Adeline, let's remember. It did not
Yeah.
work for her at all. At least not in the end. But oh man, Siobhan comes back in, seems to start, there's no dialogue, seems to start having some sort of seizure when she sees Adeline is there. Clearly not expecting her to be there. We have like this weird supercut of Anna having consumed all this blood and things in the past. We see like these interactions with all the other witches. We see like Ivy after Ivy had like caused her miscarriage. And all of this somehow seems to turn Siobhan into ash, which, you know, the effect of it is kind of cool. It just seems so easy. And I don't know why this happened, how it happened.
This it,
There's no
it's
explanation given. You know, and that's, I mean, I don't know if from the things you were looking at in the book, if there's any insight on
this doesn't
what.
happen in the book.
Okay.
This is not from the book. I'll just say, yeah, like when Siobhan starts like convulsing and shaking and then sort of like aging and then dusting away. I was like, certainly this is not the end of how this is not how this is gonna the bad guy goes down. And sure enough, it was
Have
so
we,
bad, so bad.
I'm sure we have at some point, but it's been a while. Have we ever talked about the concept of Deus Ex Machina, like what that actually means on this show in American Horror Story context?
I'm sure we have, but like, I mean, yeah, why don't you just explain what that means in this
Yeah, so I mean,
context?
people are probably familiar with it from like there's a great movie by Alex Garland about artificial intelligence called Deus Ex Machina and everything. But really, the phrase itself dates back to. Now, I'll be honest. I don't remember if it's Latin, so I guess it must be like Roman theater. But basically, there was this idea in like historic theater productions that oftentimes, like when there was like not a easy ending to a play or something like that, and you would just have basically there'd be like some contraption as a part of the. The theater props, and you would just have the gods like just like drop in and save the day, basically, and like end the play. It was almost like a device that was used like when you could not think of an ending for the thing. It was like, here's kind of a random ending to like give it a neat and tidy bow. And that's where the phrase like, God from the machine is what that literally translates to and what it literally meant. So to me, this whole scene of just like Adeline appearing from nowhere with no real context totally felt like a Deus Ex Machina, where it's like, we just needed to have some reason to have Anna survive and be, and win. And we needed to get rid of Siobhan, but like didn't have a clear way to do it. So let's create this way that doesn't make any sense.
My favorite example of Deus Ex Machina is in Jurassic Park when the at the end when the crew is getting chased by all the Velociraptors, and then the T-Rex just comes in and like starts fighting the Velociraptors so our heroes can get away. I love that movie; it's my favorite movie of all time. But and it works there. But that's like okay, let's just send the T-Rex in to like help our heroes get out of there.
Yeah,
That
it can be done in ways that work. This was
yes.
not one of
This
those.
was not that because we did not get any hints about this. We did not see. I mean, we had the Hestia episode, but like, who is Hestia's? What is her role? She was, and we looked her up. She's like a virgin goddess, which does not make sense for fertility. I don't understand that. Anyway, this is not how it shakes out at the end of the book, but I can go into that after we, if you want to just wrap up the.
Well, let's wrap it. So
Yeah.
mirror cracks, all the witches disappear, it seems.
Yeah.
Along Siobhan. So this was enough to, it seems like, eradicate the entire cult of witches, right? She's no longer paralyzed. She's able to walk. The baby that was in her arms, the monster baby's gone. For some reason, she leans down, and all that's left of Siobhan is the weird like feather cap thing. Puts it on her head, walks down the hall, and we find a lovely nursery that looks like no other room in the apartment. And there's a real normal baby in the crib. And then there's this like with a spider, and that's kind of
Which
the.
we finally get a spider in this whole season, and with the intro credits, the title credits, and spiders, and all this stuff, and then we finally get one spider.
Spider crawls across the baby, and symbolically, she puts it on the ground and smashes it with her green spike shoe. And I guess the spider's supposed to represent the witches. Not totally clear. And again, in the baby's room is her Oscar. And to me, what I was, and okay, in the baby's room is the Oscar. The baby's crying. She picks the baby up. The baby's crying. She picks the Oscar up, and the baby is soothed.
The baby
And
yawns.
yeah, and I was taking this to mean like the message here is supposed to be that actually women can have it all.
That's what I thought too. I was like, oh God.
Elfine, you know, the end. Wow. Yeah, take us through how the book ends.
After that ended, and then we got 10 more minutes of like commercials, and then the credits just started. I was like, that was so fucking stupid. Sorry.
It was rough.
Okay, some differences in the book. These are mostly just jotted down as like bullet points. Siobhan is actually an award-winning actress in the book, and not her publicist. Anna does have a publicist, and I think her name is Emily. And she Anna like does not like Emily. But Siobhan is just this older actress who is very famous and kind of sort of maybe not a mentor, but like a friend who Anna looks up to. And then in the book, oh, and Siobhan has children, I think, in the book. And then Talia, she is going through IVF. She in the TV show, she like hates kids, but in the book, she's actually going through IVF, so she definitely doesn't hate kids. And Anna doesn't meet Siobhan in her fertility journey either. They meet because of they're both actresses, I believe. And yeah, Siobhan has children of her own. Tali's going through IVF. Adeline is not dead in the book. She and Dex are divorced because Adeline did not want kids. So she is fully alive in the book and not a ghost with the powers of Hestia that maybe she bestows onto
Anna.
Anna to vanquish Siobhan, which we still don't know what Siobhan is anyway. Dex in the book, Dex is not like an artist or a cooker or like he's not an art gallery person or anything like that. So that's not his job. I don't know what his job is. Dr. Hill, as mentioned earlier, she's a woman in the book. Let me see in my notes. Siobhan in these are like bigger spoilers. Siobhan has like final stage cancer in the book in the end.
Is Siobhan a witch in the book? Are there, I assume there's still witches in the book.
Yes. So there is a coven and they are witches, but they are in the end, Anna discovers that her pregnancy was kind of like infiltrate. Like Anna does get gaslit by the coven a lot, like through her calendar, through her experience of like feeling weird things and getting medication and stuff, I think. Anna real she comes to the realization that Siobhan is part of this cult. And also her husband does have an affair in the book with the person at the fertility clinic whose name is Cora, I think, in both of them. I can't remember.
Yeah, Cora and both of
Okay.
them.
So Anna, when she is going into labor, she actually gives birth to a baby girl. And she discuss and as her husband is like traveling to get to her while she's giving birth, he gets in a car accident and he dies. Holding her daughter, Anna realizes that her newborn has a red mark. Her daughter has a red mark on the chin, just like Siobhan. And then she realizes through a conversation with Siobhan, who at that point had been in a hospital, like she wasn't there when the birth happened. She comes and she says, like, I'm dying. This group of women around me, we're a coven, and for us to live on and for you to have a baby, we have to put part of ourselves into your baby, like our to live your for your baby to succeed because of all the shit we did to make you have this baby, our lives need to go into her. So Siobhan like goes into the baby to become this, so the baby lives on. So it's not as like nefarious as it is in the they're actually really trying to help her, but they're just using witch powers to do it. And there's some like misunderstandings of like how things were done, and in the show, it's all evil. It's
And they
all
feed
evil
on them, and
reasons.
they like feed on the babies to give them youth and
Yeah.
beauty, right?
Yes. So, yeah. Later in the end, it's real that Siobhan has to transfer her past members of the coven to Anna's daughter in order for Anna's daughter to live a full life. And then she, in the end, Anna realizes that her biggest desire is to have a family. And then Anna raises her daughter to become a member of this cult. And then they start going to other fertility to find women with fertility issues to kind of perpetuate the cycle of helping women do this through this coven, which is supposed to be helpful, but with some weird magic that makes you have to like pass members into the newborns.
Interesting.
So,
So it's like
yeah.
that actually sounds like a lot more nuanced and intriguing, like an intriguing dilemma, because it's like women who are dealing with a very challenging issue of like maybe
Yeah.
you're having, maybe it's been hard for you to get pregnant because you've been prioritizing your career, or because, you're pursuing pregnancy at an older age or something like that, right? And you're met with this challenge of like, okay, I want to go through with this thing and have kids. So I have to like make the judgment of like, is it
Yeah.
worth it to have like these witches, I guess, kind of like put their energy into?
I read a passage from the book too about Siobhan, or not Siobhan, sorry, Anna discussing her like her miscarriage, and it's very graphic, but it is so well like in Anna's head that she like even I read just like two paragraphs, like you're so in her head in her descriptions and her feelings that you do care about her. Like you're so much more in what her thought process is and her like the effects of gaslighting and her fears, and you really get to know her a little bit more again in the small passages I read that we don't get in the TV show. And I know that's hard to translate. We all know this. Books, you have a lot more time. You're in the head of the characters and you're not necessarily in that. But I do think maybe the show could have benefited from some voiceover. So we are in Anna's head more. I know it's sort of a cop-out device, but at least we understand Anna more than just always looking like a deer in the headlights or frustrated because everyone's not believing her.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you and I had intentionally decided not to read the book because we didn't want to have spoilers to,
Yeah.
going into the series. We wanted to be able to add some suspense to it. I feel a little bad now because I do feel like from everything you've just said and things I've also read and heard that like the story in the book is like is more well done, and the changes they made things worse. But like now I don't have any desire to go read the book, I
Yeah.
feel like, because of this. So I feel a little bad for, I don't know. If I'm the author of the book, Danielle Valentine, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Then I'm like, honestly, I might be a little frustrated, like feeling like the show didn't do it justice. You know what I mean? So that's our take, I guess. Well, before we talk about the season on a whole, as a whole, okay, the auteur, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say,
Texas hands. Severed
how many
hands.
decks of severed hands? How many severed hands do you give this episode?
I give it 1.5.
Ooh,
This is,
brutal.
I know, it was just exposition through dialogue for 30 minutes. This episode, we didn't mention, this is a very short episode. Nothing really came as a reveal of it that gives you as an experience that, oh my gosh, moment. The ending of how the coven is defeated is just, it was silly. Preach and just reflecting on this too, like Preacher had no purpose in this besides
In the whole
that.
season.
Yeah, that's more of a season conversation. So yeah, I give it 1.5. I just thought this was not necessarily a waste of time, but it just felt rushed and just like definitely,
Unsatisfying. So
yeah.
unsatisfying.
Yeah.
I
What do
try
you?
I was trying to think of this episode outside of the context of the whole season, because I feel like it gets inevitably impacted by the fact that it's a season finale, right? And I know how much we disliked,
Yeah.
or I and I in particular disliked Little Gold Man the last episode. I'm like, did I actually dislike this episode more than I disliked Little Gold Man?
You got a
I think the
point.
answer to that is, as a standalone episode, no. I still think Little Gold Man was a worse episode. Did I think this episode was very unsatisfying? Yes. So I feel like I need to give this 2.25, which I think is what I gave Little Gold Man. I'm going to keep it the same because you can't totally extricate it from the fact that it's the end of like the end of the season. But let's say it holds more water thanks to that kind of wild cold open where it has the baby and they're flying down the freeway, and like honestly the first 5 minutes of the episode, and then Dexter choking to death on his hand, I guess, which was just kind of bonkers. Before we talk about where this season stands as in kind of the au revoir of the American Horror Story catalog, let's talk through some of our awards for this season. Let's start with a couple more lighthearted ones. best. Well, we should st should we start with the biggest? Should we start with MVP or best newcomer? I'll let you decide.
Newcomer.
Best newcomer.
Adeline
Annabelle
and
Dexter Jones. We're going to say
Annabelle
the same thing.
Dexter-Jones. Yeah. Annabelle Dexter-Jones. Absolutely. She was fantastic.
She was fantastic. She was responsible for the best episode of the season
Yep.
in Ave Hestia. Frankly, underutilized in the span of the show. Like they, again, I think we both felt like they could have done a lot more with that storyline or made the whole season about that storyline.
Yep.
So, for her sake, I hope she continues to go on to do bigger and better things because I think she's a great actress.
Yeah. What
And
one
yeah.
quick point I forgot to mention about the book is there are multiple flashbacks in the book to women with fertility issues struggling from like 1600s, 1400, 800s to like 1960s, and just the blurbs I read about them sound very interesting. So from American Horror Story standpoint, if you're picking a book, we know AHS loves their flashbacks, so that this book does make sense in that realm. Anyway, moving on. Thank you, Annabelle Dexter Jones. You're fantastic.
Yeah.
Please come back.
Biggest disappointment.
Character, just
Character, because I feel like if we just say the season's a disappointment, that's, you know.
this. I'm not. This is not the actress, but Siobhan's character was such a disappointment to me because it panned out to be nothing, and we learned nothing about anything and what she is like. Is she a demon? Is she the devil? Is she just a powerful witch? You know, who does she worship besides Satan? That character was, you know, one note, and Kim Kardashian did a great job with it, I think. But I just that story went nowhere. Like, there's nothing. At the end, she just dies because
What
of
are her
it.
original motivations as like the queen of the crown?
Her,
Like, what's her origin story? It just
yeah.
felt hugely absent.
We don't have to have every question answered, but we need something to go off of here. And that character gave us absolutely nothing. We don't even know what she is. Anyway. So
No.
that character was the biggest disappointment to me because I wanted it to be good.
I agree. I feel like also along the lines, if we're talking about character, that was the biggest disappointment. Preacher was another one, just because it ended up feeling so pointless in the end. And then obviously like a very kind of offstage death that we only get referenced through the head that they're destroying.
She
But like
had,
also, why did they wait that long to do that, you know?
yeah, she had no purpose besides being foreboding. Remember when she's up in the tree? Like, what the hell? Like, this is
That
so weird.
was
Like, never
bizarre.
tells Anna specifically what's going on either. The restaurant, like, there were so many opportunities for Preacher to like help Anna or coach her along, and just didn't happen. Like, very interesting looking character, but what a waste.
So that was from a character perspective, but I think if we're going to talk about acting, for me, the biggest disappointment on that front was Cara Delevingne, because like she's an established actress, and I think we mentioned this previously, but like I just kind of expect better from her. And look, okay, maybe she's doing the best she could with the character and with the writing, but even in, you know, it felt very clunky, and I was not impressed with much of the acting that was coming in from her direction. But close behind, like Matt Zuckery, however you say the name, but the actor who played Dexter felt like he should have been on a soap opera, honestly. I feel like he's an actor for soap operas, is how I felt after this season, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and I wonder how much of that is the writing.
Again, yeah, it's hard to just to separate them, but there was not moments from either one of them. Because even like, again, Siobhan as a had moments that we were like, oh, that was funny, or that was like Kim acted well even. And you know, Emma had her moments too, even though I didn't overall love her acting in this season. She had moments. I
Yeah.
don't feel like Cara Delevingne or Matt Shukri really had like any moments for me this season that I was like, oh, that was really well acted, you know.
Agreed.
And let's wrap it with MVP, which oof.
Oh man. This might be one of those seasons where no award is given out because no one met the
I think,
bare requirement.
look, I think I'm going to give it to Kim Kardashian for being a newcomer and for carrying that big load. I think it's not her fault that the character was written poorly and that kind of it fizzled at the end.
Yeah.
But given that, like, she's not an actress, I thought, like, again, like, I thought she was a better actress than Cara Delevingne in many scenes and in others.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to feel like, and she had a lot of lines. It was like a big role, obviously.
It
And so,
was.
with to for what she did with what she had, I feel like, I'm not excited about giving her that award, but I feel like that's, it's earned, I guess.
I'm gonna agree with you. Yeah, it feels weird to do that because it wasn't great, but it was, if we're talking about the MVP of this team, I think Kim gets it because she had, I mean, every time she was on camera, you knew you're getting something funny or interesting. The character development was atrocious, but she delivered on what it is. And I know everyone's like, oh, it's because the character is like who she is.
Her.
But it translated, so that's great. That's a success.
I mean, that was good casting, I guess. So maybe the MVP is the casting director for that particular role. I don't know. Yeah. So that's kind of our individual awards. Now let's speak to where this season sits among all the other seasons. Would you prefer that I kind of like walk through what your previous rankings have been before you decide where to place this, or do you want to talk to it?
No, let's just jump into it. Do you want me to just say where I'm putting it, putting the season and then go, or do you want me to just read through my one to,
Read through it before you put it in, I
okay.
think.
So for me, it's been Asylum, Murder House, Roanoke, 1984, Coven, NYC, Hotel, Cult, Double Feature, Freak Show, and Apocalypse. My new ranking is Asylum. Wait, something I think we should do in the future. I know that we've kept Double Feature together, but I do want to split them up. Not today, but like maybe next time. I think it
Well,
deserves to
especially
be
if
split up.
it's fair enough, and especially if next season is indeed the last season of American Horror Story, I think
Right.
then when we let's save it for when we do our preview of the
Yeah.
final season, we'll officially split them up.
Well, and people, the way that we talk about the shows, people don't say double feature really. They talk about Red Tide or Death Valley. Like it's not spoken of as like that, see, which is still so weird that they did that anyway. Asylum, Murder House, Roanoke, 1984, Coven, NYC, Hotel, Cult. Are you getting nervous? Double
It's
feature,
going down. Ooh.
Freak Show. Is he gonna do it? Apocalypse Delicate.
Ooh,
Ah.
wow. Wow, that's all the way down, as low as you can go.
So my
Honestly.
least favorite season.
Can I ask you a question? If you were
Yes.
able today to extract Death Valley from Double Feature, would it be below Delicate or would Delicate still be at the bottom?
I that's a that is a great question. I would. Delicate was 9 episodes. Death Valley was 4. Death Valley at least had some like weird shit going on and was kind of nutty with aliens, and it was entertaining and had Sarah Paulson, which was always a huge thing for me. It has that historical drama, which was okay. This Delicate was just one note almost. I would probably put Delicate last still. And I don't like Death
Oh.
Valley.
Yeah, I feel you. I would feel the same way. So I will just say, when I think of this season in the context of all the other seasons, this is the most on the nose season since Cult. In terms of like it started a little well, I say it started slower. Maybe just because it was like so being so right over the head by the end about, the struggle between a woman's career and family. But this episode was like the full manifestation of that, and especially how it ended in like this imagery of like her like having finally done it and achieved both things just felt like as much of a letdown as Cult did. Which is my last one, by the way. So I'll run through mine first. It was mine ranked Murder House first, Asylum second, Roanoke third, Double Feature fourth, Coven fifth, Hotel sixth, NYC, Freak Show, 1984, Apocalypse, and I have Cult last. If I remember correctly, Cult we felt like was a letdown at the very end. Like the end was, and I feel like there was a couple episodes in there that like there was like I think there was an episode that featured Lena Dunham that we were like was a really, really bad episode of Cult. And so I don't know, like If I'm going to place this, my new rankings are Murder House, Asylum, Roanoke, Double Feature, Coven, Hotel, NYC, Freak Show, 1984, Apocalypse,
Uh-oh.
Delicate, and then Cult. I'm going to put it second to last
Ooh,
to the left.
okay.
Here's my reasoning for it. I feel like Cult had such a loaded cast that it should have been better than what it was. Like, if I'm reflecting on it, you have Evan Peters, you've got Sarah Paulson, you've got, a bunch of our, legacy American Horror Story actors that it was, I don't know. I think, again, I would have to go back and rewatch it, which I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to do anytime soon. But in my memory,
Fair.
it was like it ended worse. This was really bad though. It's too bad. But I think this, maybe I'm being like a little bit nice to it because maybe it was impacted by the writer's strike and stuff like that. I don't know that we know. But regardless, it was a rough ending. I, similar to you, would probably put still Death Valley above it.
This, I
But it
mean, you
was a rough
mentioned the
ending.
writer's strike. Obviously, it definitely seems like that had to have played a big part in this. And the other thing that we haven't talked about too much as a negative is Halle Pfeiffer is the only writer on all of these episodes. And, I feel like that suffers because you need a writer's room or a few writers.
Well, and in some of the credits, it's like, okay, well, she worked with Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk, but like, did they help?
No,
Like,
they're not. They're not involved really. They're there for name only. I don't know that for sure, but I feel like
well, and you would think in theory that having one writer all the way through would help the story feel more connected, but there was so many things that felt totally disjointed and random. Like, why not just stick closer to the material of the book? It felt like having done that, it would have, if it would have at least put it above Apocalypse for me, but like, it's the stuff they invented just seems nonsensical when you kind of reflect against like what was actually apparently in the book,
This is the first time I've really felt that this show might be over. Like, I know we were supposed to get one more season, and I hope we do, but it just feels like there's not the quality of care that goes into the show as it did in the past. I'm not saying that people don't care about it and don't work their butts off doing this show, but it just is not rising to the occasion of, like even NYC was different and interesting and compelling. This. I like the idea of adapting some source material. That's cool, but it just, especially the second half, just felt like it was piecemeal together to get it delivered and walk out of the room so you say you did your job.
Right. I feel like reflecting back on part one, we held some optimism that like it could be on a strong trajectory. And I think even at the beginning of the, like when this was coming out and they announced it was a book, we're like, oh, there's like a roadmap for the story that can only be good, right? But they didn't follow the roadmap, which is kind of baffling, frankly. So here we are. I think if we're gonna kind of put some punctuation on this season and think through how does, again, if assuming season 13 happens, of course we'll be there to cover it. It'll be, if it's the last season of American Horror Story, there's a lot riding on it, I feel like, to kind of like, I don't know, make the show feel like it didn't go out with a fizzle. You know what I mean?
Agreed. Agreed.
Agreed. So we'll see what happens. I think in the meantime, I know Chris, you and I have a few episodes of American Horror Stories we still need to catch up on. I think we'll
That's
probably
right.
do that over the course of the next couple months. And that show is for sure coming back. And so there'll be like, I think, because there's only four episodes out so far in American Horror Stories Part One, so I think they're gonna have like a part two with a few more episodes. So we'll be back to cover those. They'll be, I mean, obviously because they're like single story narratives, there'll be more one-offs. But
Hopefully, no more Rosemary Baby knockoffs.
Let's just like give
No
pregnancy a
more.
break for a
Yeah,
while.
can we step away from that, please? Thanks.
Yeah. So until then, folks, if there's anything, insights or comments anyone has, always feel free to reach out at facebook.com/AmericanHorrorStory or thisamericanhorrorstory@gmail.com. But thanks for following us through this like very turbulent season with the writer strike and everything with us.
We love you, American Horror Story.
Yeah, and until next time, happy hauntings, everybody.